Hey, everybody. What does it mean when a company wants to be regulated? We talk about Facebook. We talk about their new ad campaign. We talk about social media, the whistleblower. And we also talk about a history of government regulation and how it actually helps the bigger companies. Email us your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. I want to thank those of you that generously support us and allow us to continue to do what we are doing at charliekirk.com/support. Jaina from Texas, thank you. Robert from California, thank you. Lewis from Brooklyn, New York, thank you. Lisa from Charlotte, North Carolina. Pollyanna from California, thank you. Michelle from Idaho, thank you. Rebecca from Atlanta, Georgia. Glenn from Lake Fort Worth, Florida, thank you. Kathy from Hawaii, thank you. Karen from Kentucky, and Valerie from Freeport, Illinois, charliekirk.com/support. Come to America Fest, everybody, December 18, 19, 20, 21 in Phoenix, Arizona, tpusa.com/AMFEST, tpusa.com/AMFEST. Check it out, everybody. Email me directly, freedom@charliekirk.com. Buckle up. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Hey, everybody. This episode is brought to you by my friends at ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. Secure your device, anonymize your online activity, protect your action online. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. Help our show out by also helping yourself protect yourself. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. I was watching television yesterday and I saw an advertisement 5 or 6 times from Facebook. And I don't watch a lot of TV. I really don't. And I was just doing some work and it was kind of up there. And the advertisement wasn't go use Facebook. The advertisement was go use WhatsApp. The advertisement was learn how Facebook wants more regulation for the internet. Now, all of this is happening in a time where people are starting to realize that technology is actually harming our ability to be fully human. Where we are seeing young girls develop tics because they're on TikTok too much. That's a real thing. Where we are seeing how people being addicted to their smartphones is a very unhealthy thing. I've said this before. I turn off my phone every night, every Friday night, for 25 hours. I do a pretty good job of that, don't I, Connor? I just go radio silent. I check my phone once or twice. It's kind of my Sabbath equivalent. And it's awesome. I get away from my phone, away from all the nonsense, the dinging, the binging, the bells, whatever. And so let's just kind of take a step back. Where were we a month ago? A month ago, we had Facebook on the ropes because of all these leaked Facebook files. There's more Facebook files that are coming out. And we and Turning Point USA, we are mentioned within these Facebook files. We'll get to that in a second. And then we go even deeper into that. We now are seeing a disturbing trend of Facebook and the tech industry being somewhat in the orbit of a push to regulate these companies. And the big kind of psychological op, the big press op, if you will, where it feels as if the entire thing was concocted, was the story with Frances Haugen, who testifies in front of Congress. And anyone that has been in this world for even a little bit realized the whole thing seems so fake. It was so artificial. It was so concocted. It was so, it was like a simulation almost. It was theater. It wasn't as if it was a real whistleblower. And notice the whole, it wasn't about how Facebook needs to be broken into pieces. It's that, no, we need more government legislation to try to control what Facebook is doing. And so then new details are showing that the whistleblower, Frances Haugen, is actually being funded by the CEO of eBay, that the Facebook whistleblower is funded by the billionaire founder of eBay, from PR to legal aid. So his name is Pierre Omidyar, a well-known critic of big tech, whose previous advocacy efforts have supported independent journalism and anti-monopoly campaigns and employee activism. And he donated $150,000 to Whistleblower Aid last year, the same nonprofit responsible for her legal representation. And notice what she's advocating for. She's not advocating for a breakup of tech or how technology is making young people have serious health issues and destroying our capacity to communicate. No, what she's advocating for is a new government agency that will police speech, that will criminalize other ideas. And so the Facebook files continue to come out, and the Facebook files are part – is she the one leaking them? I don't quite know. That's what's so strange about this. But a new one that we are involved in – and I don't know. The Washington Post, for example, this article just posted by Sarah Ellison. We've been knowing this story was going to come out for a while. Facebook allowed conservative outlets to spread misinformation, and we're mentioned in this, alongside Prager University, Diamond and Silk. And basically what was happening is that Facebook employees were complaining to the CEO of Facebook, get rid of Charlie Kirk, get rid of PragerU, get rid of Turning Point USA, because we don't like the ideas that they are spreading. And so then you take a step back, you have all this kind of happening at once. You have the selective leaks of these documents that are showing that the CEO, Zuckerberg, and his team were not wanting to overly censor conservatives for misinformation, but that's like a false framing. We had our Facebook page demonetized. We've had our posts suppressed. We've seen our engagement go down dramatically. So we've already experienced that. And so it's a complete false framing. And then you have this fake whistleblower come out and demand that Facebook is a company that needs more regulation. And then all of a sudden you see it all come together. Facebook realizes that they are seeing a trend, a very quick trend, where the winds of the nation are going to want to regulate them. And so Facebook is doing the thing that is in their best interest, not the best interest of the country, where they're saying, okay, we are going to then demand regulation that benefits us. Whenever you see a big company asking to be regulated, don't regulate them that way. When you see a big company like Facebook running advertisements on cable television saying, we stand for Section 230 reform, we stand for regulatory reform, what they're really asking for is a set of laws that will make Truth Social, that will make Rumble, and make their success more difficult. It'll make it harder for those companies to succeed. Listen to this advertisement that Facebook is running on TV nonstop. Play cut 46.
I've been with Facebook for almost 3 years now. I'm originally from New Orleans, Louisiana, and I'm on the Facebook content team.
You have a lot of topics that you cover, a wide range. What would you say is the most challenging about your job?
It's tough. We make a lot of difficult decisions. We work in the spectrum of freedom of expression versus content moderation and constantly trying to figure out where on that spectrum we should land. I don't know if that is right to have a private corporation like Facebook dictating what those boundaries are. And I think that with the right adjustments made to Section 230 and improved regulation, Facebook and the broader industry can receive better guidance in where on that spectrum we should be.
Huh. I want you to think deeply about that for a second. That's Facebook running an advertisement saying that Facebook is not positioned to do the regulating, so that Facebook wants a new government agency to do the regulating. Why would they be running an advertisement like that? They want to run an advertisement like that because if a new federal agency to police speech was created, they get two big wins out of that. Number one, they can no longer be blamed for what they censor and do not censor on their platform because they're tired of this. They're getting exhausted with doing it. They've tried this third-party fact-checker thing. They want to outsource the censorship so they can wash their hands clean of it. But the second thing is their real motivation. They want to add on hundreds of millions of dollars of regulatory compliance to make it impossible to start a new social media company, to make the cost to start up and to compete against Facebook nearly and totally impossible. Facebook is using this sort of propaganda campaign. Please regulate us. Please, please, can you please? They don't want to get regulated. They want to wash their hands of the actual intervention of picking winners and losers. So if you have this new federal agency that then polices speech on social media, then you're going to see all of a sudden when someone gets kicked off social media, when Trump gets kicked off social media, Facebook doesn't have to have some sort of stupid board or go. They're saying, oh, no, it wasn't us. Go blame the government. And of course, there's no right of redress or grievance against that. I've been telling you guys about Relief Factor for quite some time. And truth is, I know millions of people are, in fact, 100 million people are in some kind of pain. Look, producer Andrew, he couldn't walk. He was a hobbled individual. He was bedridden in his chair, complaining all the time. And then all of a sudden, we got this call from Relief Factor. They said, hey, we want to partner with your show. We're going to send you some Relief Factor. Producer Andrew got it. He took it, got a little bit better. Took some more, got a little bit better. Next thing you know, he's doing the Fallsberry flop like you wouldn't believe. In fact, he might be training for an Ironman. It's pretty incredible. Now, he says it's thanks to Relief Factor. I ask him all the time, Relief Factor? He says ReliefFactor.com, 100% drug-free supplement. You can get it for less than the cost of a cup of coffee a day. So go to ReliefFactor.com, and I'm suggesting you order their three-week quick start to see if we can get you out of pain. And then after that, it's less than the cost of a cup of coffee a day to stay out of pain. Just go to ReliefFactor.com. That is ReliefFactor.com. I'm telling you, a lot of people are in pain. It's 100% drug-free. Don't go to opioids. Don't go to these other things. Check it out at ReliefFactor.com. The Washington Post writes, the new cache of internal Facebook documents provide more insight into that dynamic. Some memos include assertions by Facebook staffers that when conservative publishers engaged in behavior that ran afoul of Facebook rules, the company often let them off the hook. Quote, a fear of political backlash was a contributing factor in decisions made not to have conservative publishers like Breitbart or PragerU or conservative personalities like Charlie Kirk and Diamond and Silk deemed repeat offenders for promoting misinformation, a designation that is supposed to cause a temporary block on ads. By the way, we did. Just so we're clear, we lost access to monetization on Facebook, and we were suppressed for an entire quarter, for 90 days. This idea that we haven't been suppressed. Another conservative outlet, the Daily Wire, the staffer wrote, quote, seemed to have been consistently exempted from punishment for running afoul of Facebook rules against collaboration with other groups to echo and amplify falsehoods. The documents did not outline what specific violations had allegedly occurred. Referring to Diamond and Silk, the two passionately pro-Trump video bloggers, the Facebook document noted the duo, quote, is extremely sensitive and has not hesitated going public about their concerns around alleged conservative bias on Facebook. A 2020 NBC News story reported that Facebook managers intervened to remove strikes from their internal records for Diamond and Silk, allowing them to avoid repeat offender status. We responded, a spokesman for Kirk maintained the prominent conservatives are, quote, routinely targeted by Facebook and unfairly labeled as misinformation. Any exceptions must have been made only after gross bias has already been demonstrated. And I completely agree with that because that's what we said. that's our story and we're sticking with it. Far from receiving special or favorable treatment, the experience for conservatives like Charlie Kirk has been the exact opposite. This is what we said. Full quote. Fact checkers routinely target prominent conservatives, flagging posts based on technicality, uncharitable interpretations, obvious jokes or peer opinion labeled as misinformation. Any exceptions must have been made after gross bias has already been demonstrated by third-party fact-checkers. So understand what's really going on here. What's going on here is these leaks in conjunction with Haagen-Dazs and in conjunction with Facebook running ads is this, okay, these conservatives out of control, they're the ones that are stowing the anti-vaccine stuff. They're the ones that are doing the anti-mask stuff. And Facebook is like, okay, we are no longer to be able to police our own. Facebook is saying, we can't do this. If you guys want to shut up Charlie Kirk so badly, go pass a law and do that. And that's where this is headed. This is heading for Congress. And by the way, I wouldn't be surprised if you're going to see states like New York or California start to put some sort of beginning stages, if you will, of censorship boards in their states. Cut 47, Facebook is running this as an advertisement. Privacy on Facebook and legislation associated with it. Play cut 47.
My name is Rochelle, and I'm on the Facebook privacy team.
Tell me a little bit about your job. What does it entail?
I actually help people understand their privacy because it means different things to different people. You should be able to understand who has your data and how they use it. Federal legislation can give our platforms and other platforms guidelines so we can have a consistent approach.
Asking for federal regulation. Any big business that wants to be regulated, they have many different motives. I could tell you this. You don't find an entrepreneur or a small businessman. He says, you know what? You know what we need? We need more federal regulation on our business. No, you only want federal regulation when you have the following. A powerful incumbency, a steady stream of profit, and a problem that you want to go away. Those are the three things. So Facebook is making billions of dollars in profit. We know that. Facebook has hundreds of millions of users. We know that. And Facebook doesn't want to compete. You see, regulation is a deterrent to competition. So instead of trying to compete against Rumble, which just acquired Locals.com today, by the way, R-U-M-B-L-E.com, instead of competing in the marketplace of social media apps, Facebook is now running these advertisements. What federal guidelines can do can help us out. Really? That's the motivation here? Are people falling for this? This is the same thing that is if Amazon was coming out and they say, you know what we need to do? We need more regulation around package delivery. The same sort of thing when Google comes out, they say, we need more regulation around search engine optimization. Same sort of thing if Netflix came out, they said, we need more regulation around content streaming. The best example of this, though, is when the big banks came out and supported Dodd-Frank. Barney Frank, was it Chris Dodd? I think it was. Chris Dodd and Barney Frank. We're going to go back into a chapter and a period of American history that many young people listening to this program are not well versed in. The 2008 financial crisis. What caused it? What led to it? And what happened afterwards was one of the greatest handouts to the American financial sector in history. A piece of legislation designed by and for the banks that crushed mid-level banks. Internet privacy is extremely important. New news out shows that Google has been colluding with the federal government to hand over your data if you might have searched something wrong into the search bar. So what are you doing to protect your search history? Well, this is why you need ExpressVPN. Using the internet without ExpressVPN is like going to the bathroom and not closing the door. It's in fact even worse than that. It's inviting someone into the bathroom, which is really weird and creepy. Internet service providers know every single website you visit. ISPs can sell this data and information to ad companies and tech giants who then use your data to target you. ExpressVPN creates a secure, encrypted tunnel between your device and the internet, so your online activity cannot be seen by anyone. It's as easy as closing the bathroom door and fire up the app and click one button. I use it on all my devices. Every device, I have those beautiful three letters, VPN with a rectangle around it. It's rated number one by CNET and TechRadar. Here's the cool thing. It works on phones, laptops, and even routers. So everyone who shares your Wi-Fi can be protected. Here's the thing. I have it on my iPhone. I have it on my iPad. I have it on my computer. ExpressVPN for me has been a game changer to be able to know that the tech companies or the government, they have to go through a whole nother barrier to try to spy on us. When we see with the new announcements out of DC, if you've spoke at a school board meeting lately, you better get a VPN. Secure your online activity by visiting expressvpn.com/Charlie today. That's expressvpn.com/Charlie. It's extremely important to anonymize your online activity. expressvpn.com/Charlie. When a company is asking for regulation, take pause. When a company wants to be regulated, you must ask why. Well, in 2008, we all experienced, well, some of you actually were very young in 2008, a financial crisis. The 2008 financial crisis changed our life. Actually, not as much, but close to as much as the Chinese Corona Fauci virus. The 2008 financial crisis was because of a lot of different factors. Washington, D.C.'s cheap money policies, Alan Greenspan lowering interest rates and keeping them low after 9/11, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac in a completely immoral and unregulated way giving out low interest loans to people that did not have the credit scores to back them, looping these loans all together into packages that then could be traded as derivatives on the market, otherwise known as credit default swaps, which was something that was highly, highly controversial. Also, we saw after 1999, because of the repeal of Glass-Steagall, the merging of commercial banks and investment banks together, which further incentivized banks to get more involved in very risky lending and lending practices. So you put all this together alongside the very obvious and important government intervention of Wall Street getting drunk off of the liquor that Washington provided. You ask yourself the question, what happened after that? Well, after that, we saw a massive push by Chris Dodd, who's now a lobbyist, and Barney Frank from Massachusetts. If you don't know who Barney Frank is, you missed a wonderful chapter in American politics. I shouldn't say wonderful. It was. You think America was in a bad place now? People were really down in 2009, 2010. The economy was in the gutter. We're in a much worse position now. But it felt bad back then. And so Barney Frank from Massachusetts came out with a massive regulatory package. The regulatory package that he recommended became the bill Dodd-Frank. Dodd-Frank had basically pushed thousands of pages of additional regulation on banks, which ended up actually harming small and local and community banks far more than J.P. Morgan and Wells Fargo. So community bank share of U.S. banking assets and lending market fell from 40% in 1994 to around 20% today. You want to know why we are being ruled by the tyranny of J.P. Morgan, Wells Fargo, and Goldman Sachs? Has been the death of the community bank. Although this is misleading at best, a very likely and accurate number considering Dodd-Frank was implemented 16 years later than 1994. Even in addition to that, small banks have been forced to end some businesses such as mortgages and car loans in response to all these new regulations. The size of regulatory compliance teams have grown, but the big companies, they are able to factor into their budgets. They're able to factor into their multi-billion dollar operating costs. Yeah, we'll spend an extra $20 million on legal. We'll spend an extra $50 million on compliance. Not a big deal. But if you're the local community bank here in Boise, you don't have $50 million to comply with Dodd-Frank, the FDIC, and all of the additional regulation that comes onto this. And so what has happened to J.P. Morgan's stock since 2008? Well, December 19th, 2008, J.P. Morgan's stock was $30.32 a share. 13 years later, it is at $171 a share. They are more valuable than ever before. What is the market cap of J.P. Morgan Chase? Well, the total capitalization, again, back in 2008, they were about 5.5 times smaller. The market cap of J.P. Morgan Chase is now $512 billion. Let me say that again, $512 billion. J.P. Morgan has benefited from the PPP loans, benefited from the cheap money that comes from the quantitative easing of the Federal Reserve, the low price of money, the seeming infinite amount of dollar bills that we have. But also any competitor that might go up against J.P. Morgan, they are going to have to navigate the thicket, the jungle, to traverse the side of the wasteland that is the infinite pile of government and federal regulation. What happens when J.P. Morgan Chase is found violating federal banking law? They pay a fine. What happens when Wells Fargo has to break federal regulations? I'll give you an example. Wells Fargo was fined $250 million by federal regulators, while it says a separate 2016 CFPB consent order has expired. These banks don't ever actually go to jail. None of the executives go to jail. They don't get investigated criminally. They just pay a fine and they move on. Wells Fargo was hit with a $250 million fine levied by the OCC related to its mortgage business. This was actually from last month, the Office of Comptroller and of Currency. J.P. Morgan, anytime they do anything wrong, how about this? J.P. Morgan, this is from last year, to pay $1 billion fine to resolve U.S. investigation into trading practices. $1 billion fine. Now, I guarantee you that there could have been a criminal nature to that. But for them, that's a rounding error. They're a $512 billion company, and they probably put it over 10 years. Total assets in J.P. Morgan Chase, well over $3.68 trillion J.P. Morgan has under assets. So now you have a very similar type institution. Facebook is the big bank equivalent of the tech companies. Facebook is going through a 2008 financial crisis equivalent of whistleblowers and tech backlash. People hated the big banks in 2008 and 2009 for good reason. These banks were reckless, and it wasn't just the banks. It was Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. It was the FDIC. It was Ben Bernanke. It was Timothy Geithner. It was Hank Paulson, who used to run Goldman Sachs. This happens to be a chapter in American history I know very well. I've studied it very closely. I don't talk about it much anymore because we have other issues. Go look at the biggest companies in America right now. You go look at the ones where it seems as if you can never compete against them. Many of them, if not all of them, benefit tremendously from a series and a set of federal regulators that have an inside-out relationship with them. Look at Pfizer, AstraZeneca, Moderna, Johnson & Johnson, and BioNTech. There's an inside-out relationship. You go work for the CDC, then you get to go work for Pfizer. Or how about Scott Gottlieb? Scott, what was Gottlieb's title? He was the head of NIH or something? FDA, I think it was FDA. Scott Gottlieb runs FDA, then he goes work for Pfizer, vice versa. These companies are not going to actually be targeted for anything they do wrong. No, the incentive structure is to keep the carousel of handouts continuing. And so now Facebook is running propaganda campaign ads saying, please regulate us. Please create a new body of regulators that we have to succumb to. No, Facebook will call the shots in those regulations. Here's why. Is that whoever runs the, let's just pretend, for example. So we have a Federal Communications Corporation, FCC. Is that what is it? Federal Communications Corporation Commission? I think it's the commission. The FCC, by the way, regulates everything we say on radio. We have to literally fill out these forms of what we talk about. The Federal Communications Commission, FCC. There, every single aspect of American life has some sort of regulatory body over it. The Internal Revenue Service for tax policy, the Employment Prevention Agency, otherwise known as the Environmental Protection Agency for your EPM, BLM, Bureau of Land Management, ATF when it comes to firearms, whatever you want to talk about, you could put it all together, right? So then you have, let's say that there was a new Federal Internet Regulatory Committee, FERC, the Federal Internet Regulatory Committee, FERC. Let's just say, I could just see it commit, kind of created now. Well, let me ask you a question. The person who runs FERC, do you think that person is going to want a job with Facebook after they're done? Of course. It will be the same inside-out relationship that we see at the FDA, the CDC, and the NIH. Oh, we already have the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission. That's FERC. Oh, we're going to have a new one then. How about the Federal Internet Responsibility Coalition for Global Change? FERGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGGG for a better internet. FIBRIL, Federal Organization for a Better Internet, FOBI, okay? You think I'm joking. This is what these animals, you know, these maniacs think about all day long. FOBI, the Federal Organization for a Better Internet, FOBI. Do you think the person who runs FOBI is going to want a job with Facebook and Google afterwards? Of course. So Facebook is now saying, okay, there will be. In fact, we want to be at the initial, we want to be at the ground level. FCABI, is that the one? The Federal Commission for a Better Internet? Okay. FICABABI. We're making these up, by the way, just so you're clear. This is us just spitballing. This is the beauty of podcasting. You get to do things like this. But when the Federal Commission for a Better Internet gets proposed by Kirsten Gillibrand, or when the Federal Commission for a Better Internet gets proposed by Elizabeth Warren, Facebook is making a very smart decision for their own interest and for their stock, for their stockholders, their shareholders, and for Zuckerberg. They don't want to be caught by surprise. They don't want to be seemed adversarial to this new regulatory body. They want to help build it. They want to build the very Leviathan that is going to come after them, when in reality will work in harmony with them, when in reality will just be an extension of their own operation. The same way the SEC is an extension of the hedge funds. The same way the FDIC is an extension of the Wells Fargo, Goldman Sachs, JP Morgan. And Facebook realizes that the winds of change are going in the direction of federally regulating the internet. And instead of fighting it, they want to control it. And that's what's behind this entire propaganda campaign. The Social Security Administration's computers are 45 years old. Computer servers at Health and Human Services are 50. Charlie Kirk here. Maybe that's how cyber criminals hack the U.S. Census Bureau's computers when everything about you is stored. The threat of cyber thief stealing your credit card isn't your biggest risk. Your massive risk is that he takes over ownership of your home. It's called home title theft, and the FBI calls it one of the fastest growing crimes. Cyber criminals simply hack into vulnerable government, bank, or mortgage company servers where copies of your home title is stored. He forges your signature stating you sold your home to him. Then he borrows on your home and leaves you in debt. You won't know until the collection notices show up. Protect your most valuable asset today. Go to HomeTitleLock.com and register your address now to see if you're already a victim. Use promo code RADIO for 33 days of protection. Again, that's HomeTitleLock.com, promo code RADIO, HomeTitleLock.com. Protect yourself and your family and your most valuable asset. Do it right now, HomeTitleLock.com. How many times have you heard that conservatives need to take back the culture? Well, I can tell you what. If your name is Brandon and you're listening to this, everywhere you go, people are cheering for you. I grew up with a couple of Brandons. I'm sure they're loving this. Let's go, Brandon, everybody. And so all of a sudden, we now have rap artists and people that are coming out that are creating songs called Let's Go, Brandon, including Bryson Gray, who I think actually came to one of our events a couple years ago with the big MAGA hat. That was him, right? And he's an ambassador for Turning Point USA. I think they took down the song, didn't they? YouTube took it down because he said something he wasn't supposed to say. Well, now this is growing great steam. And I have to tell you, this is one of the most delicious news stories to see very serious people that take themselves very seriously try to report on the Let's Go Brandon story. From Washington Post to Slate, my favorite new – and by the way, it's amazing how many people on the left don't even know what's happening with the Let's Go Brandon thing. So Slate.com, the story behind the Let's Go Brandon, the secretly vulgar chant suddenly beloved by Republicans. Oh, you guys are worried about the sudden decline of American vulgarity. Got it. Somehow you guys are trying to say that we need to be pious and we need to be reserved and not swear. Meanwhile, you guys have Drag Queen Story Hour being put on Nickelodeon and absolute pornographic curriculum being put into children's school. But no, that's right. It's a vulgar phrase. Well, Let's Go Brandon. There's nothing vulgar about that. And the FCC, you guys can't come after me for saying Let's Go Brandon. So for those that don't know, maybe you've been, I don't know, in a coma the last 3 weeks or I don't know, navigating the islands of Thailand or something, and you just haven't been really cued into the news cycle, or maybe you were in honeymoon in Sri Lanka. I don't know. So there's a NASCAR driver. His name is Brandon, and he's actually competing soon in Phoenix, if I'm not mistaken. Well, I don't know his last name. And so Brandon won this NASCAR event. And the crowd started, his name's Brandon Brown, the crowd started to chant F Joe Biden. And the announcer, a lot of people went and attacked the announcer. I actually think she was kind of creative and she unintentionally now gave us a non-vulgar way to now say this. So then she says, oh, they're all saying, let's go, Brandon. They weren't saying, let's go, Brandon. And it was just so comically wrong. It was just so off the beat. And look, she had to do her best. She didn't want to get an FCC complaint. She obviously was trying to keep it focused on the try to keep it focused on the sports story. Do I think she intentionally lied? Yeah, of course she did. She knew they weren't saying that, obviously. And so she knew they weren't saying, let's go, Brandon. But I think she unintentionally created a movement where now it's everywhere. Okay, so this chant, let's go, Brandon, is everywhere. Last night at our event in Boise, people were just coming up and chanting, let's go, Brandon. And it kind of has these kind of alternate meaning. It's like it's anti-media. It's anti-Biden. It's all over the place. It's also pro-Brandon. We're very pro-Brandon. And so let's go to cut 41. Harris Faulkner saying, let's go, Brandon song has now hit the number one on iTunes over Adele, Skinny Adele, now new Skinny Adele's new song. Okay, cut 41.
And as the president deals with that favorability issue, problem, disaster, the anti-Biden chants, let's go, Brandon, which, you know, are kind of code for cleaning up what they're really saying. But anyway, let's go, Brandon, now hitting the iTunes top. Top two hip-hop songs. They now sit one and two on iTunes downloads ahead of Adele's new song.
Number one and two. We're always told conservatives need to take back the culture where it's happening organically. Now, YouTube took down Bryson's song, Let's Go Brandon. And this is just gaining steam. I am amazed. This is all thanks to meme culture, by the way. This is 100% meme culture. And honestly, when you have Joe Biden's approval rating at 64% and a disapproval rating at 64% and approval rating at 30%. So I'm not really gonna make a habit out of watching the World Series after what they did with moving the All-Star game or whatever. But I will say this. If anyone can start a Let's Go Brandon chant at the World Series tonight, please do that. If you're watching this and you're going to the World Series tonight, come with signs and do a Let's Go Brandon chant. I think that you'll have a lot of friends in both Houston and Atlanta that will agree with you. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. And if you want to support our show, you could do so at charliekirk.com/support. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. We'll see you in December, Phoenix, Arizona, tpusa.com/amfest. God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.